The Iranian-backed Patriotic Union of Kurdistan today said that Iraqi troops and tanks are continuing to attack Kurdish positions in northern Iraq. But the Pentagon says there is no evidence of any attack or massing of tanks in the north. U.S. officials say it was also quiet today in southern Iraq, where an expanded no-fly zone is in its second day. NPR's Martha Raddatz has more on the day's events.
Given that the U.S. has launched 44 cruise missiles at southern Iraq this week, it's easy to forget that this conflict started in the north, where Kurdish opposition groups are fighting one another. One side backed by Iran, the other aided by the Iraqi army. It was the Iraqi military involvement that prompted the U.S. to order missile strikes. Strikes that CIA Director John Deutsch told the Senate Intelligence Committee today appear to be paying off.
We are seeing the withdrawal of the mechanized and armor units from the Kurdish territories in northern Iraq back to their garrisons fairly systematically. We find that most of the units are returning, and there is compliance with the change in the no-fly zone. So for the time being, it looks like the Iraqi military has stood down.
And for the time being, so is the U.S. military, at least as far as missile strikes. Secretary of State Warren Christopher told U.S. allies that the U.S. reserves the right to take further action, but that for now, the mission has been completed. As State Department spokesman Glenn Davies explained it, the U.S. action demonstrated to Saddam Hussein that he will pay the price when he resorts to force.
The response we chose was one in our own interest. And it was meant to weaken Saddam militarily, to send him a message, and to enable our forces and those of the coalition with a greater degree of safety to enforce the no-fly zones.
Those coalition members that have agreed to enforce the no-fly zone, that is. France is back in the skies, but has refused to enter the newly expanded portion of the zone. The additional 69 miles in the southern no-fly zone between the 32nd and 33rd parallel. But Tom McNarr, a senior analyst with the RAND Corporation, said the enlarged no-fly zone probably doesn't make things that much harder for Saddam Hussein militarily anyway.
It may make it a little more difficult for him to move around down there, but by and large, what goes on in the south is on the ground anyway. It's not a matter of what's in the air. What it may do, though, is threaten, allow us to come further north in our own air patrols to the point where we can threaten targets closer to Baghdad, which are, in fact, vital to Saddam, the forces that actually protect him. And so there may, and I'm guessing here because one doesn't exactly know what protects Saddam and where it is, but my guess is we are now in a better position to actually threaten targets of real value to Saddam than we were a couple of days ago.
And that possibility, says McNarr, may really make a difference. The Iraqis are already accusing the U.S. of targeting areas around Baghdad, but the only artillery fire in the Iraqi capital appears to be coming from the Iraqis themselves. For 15 minutes last night, Iraqi anti-aircraft fire brightened Baghdad's skies. Whether the Iraqis had anything to target, however, is doubtful. The Pentagon says there have been no American, allied, or other military operations even close to the capital. I'm Martha Raddatz in Washington.